We want to thank you for tuning in to the Indian Run Christian Church podcast with Pastor Terry Bailey. This podcast can be found on iTunes by searching for Terry Bailey Ministries. Right now, let's get to Pastor Terry's insightful message.
What I spoke about last week came from this passage in Hebrews that Jesus, as our high priest, is sympathetic because of the incarnation. He came, he experienced what it means to live as you must live, as I must live in a fallen world. He was subject to all the pressures, to all the frustrations, to the whole thing of pain, tempted in all ways as we are tempted. And so he became our sympathetic high priest. And it says there that we can draw near to him with confidence. If you read in verse 16, to the throne of grace, we can be confident about his mercy and about his tendency to extend grace, because he knows what it's like to live as we must live. First qualification for the central role in the Christmas drama. But I want you to look with me over to chapter 5 of the book of Hebrews, the first couple of verses. For every high priest, everyone from Aaron forward, for every high priest taken from among men is appointed on behalf of men in things pertaining to God, in order to offer both gifts and sacrifices for sin. He, the high priest, whichever one is high priest at the time, every last one of them, he can deal gently with the ignorant and misguided, since he himself also is beset with weaknesses. You see, every high priest that ever lived in the Jewish line met the first qualification. Every one of them could sympathize with my weakness or yours because they had weaknesses of their own. They understood what it was like to be a sinner. They understood what it was like to fail, to stumble. And so every last one of them could meet the first requirement. But as the book of Hebrews continues to develop this thought, it tells us nevertheless that every one of them was limited in their capacity, that these gifts they offered, that these sacrifices they made, these ceremonies over which they superintended, had very limited efficacy, and were only waiting for the day when the really fully qualified high priest would show up and be able to do the job in a complete and permanent fashion, because there is some other qualification beyond being able to sympathize with our weakness. It was expressed at the tail end of this verse. It says in verse 15 of chapter 4, one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. For I understand where the line gets drawn at this second qualification, because I can sympathize with you. When you fail, I got it. I have failed. When you stumble, I understand. I feel for you because I have stumbled. When you have 1,000 pounds of red hot shame pushing on the back of your head till you can't look people in the eye, I get it, because I have had that same sensation. I sympathize. I'll sympathize with you all day. There's not much else I can really do about your problem. Or at least there are things that Jesus can do about them that I can't. And he also gets it. He's completely sympathetic. He was faced with everything that you will ever be faced with. There's no dark path you can trod that he hasn't already trod. There's no hard place that you can stand where he hasn't already stood. going to throw in something here. This is a theological debate, and I really can't chase it down completely. We'd have to do a lot of modal logic stuff and philosophy and one thing and another. But I tell you, I believe that it was possible for Jesus to sin, that his temptations were real. Many scholars don't believe that, because he was fully God, because of God's pre-knowledge, because of all these things, that the temptations for Jesus were something of a shadow play, because he really couldn't give in and sin. I'm just going to say, if Jesus couldn't really fail, then he has not been tested in every way as I have been tested, because I can sure do it. I can fail. But he did not. And that is the point. You see, if you are hopelessly trapped beneath the weight of some huge log that you cannot move, it does you no good for me to be trapped under there with you, because I can't move it either. What we need is someone who can move the thing. And Jesus Christ bore every weight common to man, and made the lift. If you are caught in the raging current of some stream and being swept away, what comfort to you that I am there being swept away beside you? What we both need is someone who can withstand the current, and Jesus Christ withstood the entire current of this broken world, stood fast, immovable in righteousness and purity. As long as I've used these two examples, let me just tell you this story. I saw a sign that said, "All expenses paid, Mississippi cruise, $25. And I thought, that sounds like a deal. So I went to the place and I laid down my money, and they pointed me toward the river, and I started to walk down there, and suddenly felt a horrible sharp pain on the back of my head, and everything went black. And when I woke up, I was chained to a log floating down the Mississippi River. What kind of cruise is this? I floated along for a while, and lo and behold, another log drifted near me, and chained to that log was Doug Diggles. And I thought, just to lighten things up a little bit, I said, "Doug, you reckon they'll feed us on this cruise?" And he said, "They didn't last year." Limited good can be done for you by people who are in the same boat, the same fix, same trap. This is a difficult point for us to understand. And I get all the reasons that it's difficult, but only the perfect can redeem the imperfect. Jesus was perfectly pure, perfectly righteous. He was, as the book of Hebrews gives us to understand, that blameless, spotless, perfect Lamb of which the high priestly system always made such a big deal. The Lamb of God come at last to pay the price for the guilty. And only the innocent can pay the price for the guilty. I will try a few examples of this as I go. Every one is oversimplified, but when you put them all together, maybe we can begin to get the point. Only the innocent can pay the price for the guilty. Mark, if you and I are convicted of the same crime, let's even say we were in cahoots, we were convicted of the same crime. 20 years apiece, the judge says, Mark, and I say, "Why don't you let my 20 years serve for Mark too?" Do you think the judge will go for that? No, because my 20 years pay for my crime. And I will be 65 years old in July, even if I wanted to. I don't think I would have another 20 years after that to give to Mark anyway, but it wouldn't work. Only the innocent can pay the price for the guilty. And Jesus Christ maintained his innocence. Only the whole can replace the broken. There are folks here whose homes I have been in, and folks here whose homes I have not yet been in. Dan and Mindy, I have not yet been in your home. But let's say I go to your home and I discover that there you have, among other things, a fabulously valuable antique vase which I break. Knock it off. Shatters to 1,000 pieces. And I say, oh, I am sorry, but let me give you this. And I hand you the broken fragments of another antique vase which used to belong to Stacy Fallot, but I broke it last week. Let this replace the one that I broke. What a deal, right? You see, because only the whole can stand in for the broken. I know I'm oversimplifying, but only the successful can help the failure. If we are all locked in one prison camp together, only the guy who gets out can come back with help. Only the perfect can redeem the imperfect. And Jesus Christ is, number one, our sympathetic high priest because he has been tempted in every way as we have been tempted, so he understands. But there's that second qualification. Though he was tempted in every way as we are tempted, he was without sin. And he became something that we have never attained, a fully righteous, pure human. This qualifies him beyond every other high priest from the line of Aaron who could sympathize, but who themselves were fallen. Now, I have to sneak a third one in because there are four that I wanted to get to in this series, and there aren't enough weeks before Christmas for me to get it done. So I'm going to sneak a third one in just quickly rather than preach a whole sermon about this. If you back up to verse 13 of the passage, Hebrews 4:13. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And then it continues, therefore, since we have a great high priest, the passage that I've read. Jesus knew the whole score before he came. Dick, that thing that you got away with that nobody else knows about, Jesus knows. For there is no creature hidden from his sight, and everything is laid bare before him. Every hurtful, demeaning word that we have ever spoken, is known to him. Every destructive action that we have committed is known to him. There are no surprises about us in his sight. I quoted last week from 1 John chapter 3 where it says, if our heart condemns us, we have this comfort. God is greater than our hearts, and he knows all things. Jesus Christ was fully informed before he undertook the incarnation. And so his consent is fully informed. These three things, and one to look at next week, qualify him for the central role in the Christmas drama. He knows all things. He always has. The incarnation makes him able to sympathize with our weaknesses. And though he was tempted in all ways as we are tempted, he remained without sin, becoming the perfect Lamb of God who can save us all. These three and one more are the truth of Christmas that I wish to convey this year. You'll have to come back next week to get the last one. That even with just these three, you can surely see that there has only ever been one who was qualified for what we celebrate in Christmas. And the one is Jesus Christ, and he will make you whole.
We want to take a moment to thank all of you, our faithful listeners, for setting aside time each week for the Indian Run Christian Church podcast. You can find out more about the church by visiting our website at www.christforeastcanton.com. That's www.christforeastcanton.com. On behalf of Pastor Terry and all the folks at Indian Run Christian Church, I pray God's blessing on you and your family.